Bible tells us it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Praise God. And we do that often, don't we? We have much to be thankful for. We ought never to lose sight of the fact that we have always have much more to be thankful for than to complain about. I guess we shouldn't complain at all, right? But sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. Maybe our faith isn't where it ought to be. And the Lord, He listens to our complaint. And He helps us. Often you'll read in the psalmist begins, "Where are you, God? How come you're not answering my prayers?" And so on. But I like, by the time you get to the end of the psalm, he's praising the Lord and everything good. And that's how it is in our lives sometimes, too. When you pour out your heart to God, gives him an opportunity to speak to us and give us a different perspective on things. And so we need to remember that. We need to approach him with thanksgiving, first of all. Praise God. You have something to be thankful for tonight? I'm sure you do. I don't know what's happening in your life or what has happened in your life, but the Lord knows all about it. And he knows what he's been doing, and it's right to thank him for that. I've often told this story, and I tell it at Pilgrim Camp because it happened at Pilgrim Camp. I see Tommy Barnes here. I haven't seen him for a long time. But many years ago, I guess I can say many years ago now, I came to live here at Pilgrim Camp for about 2.5 years under the ministry of Brother and Sister Gardner in particular, and was training for the ministry. I didn't know that when I first came up. I just came to seek God's will, and I thought it'd be good. They gave me the opportunity to come with Michael Corrigan and some others, and to spend the year here seeking the Lord and getting some direction for our life. And 1 year turned to 2 years, and then 2.5 years. And then from there I went to Fredericksburg, Virginia, with our brother Bowie Curry, and that was the first church that I had opportunity to serve the Lord in like that. But when I first came to Pilgrim Camp, I think it was in an October sometime, and I was to meet Brother Gardner at the Floral Park Church, and then we were going to go to a funeral. It's a good way to start, right? And then I was going to drive him from the funeral up here to Pilgrim Camp. Now, some of you remember Brother Gardner, and he was a very lovely man, very godly man, but sometimes he appeared a little stern if you didn't know him well. And that's why you understand when I say that was the longest ride of my life, from Floral Park to Pilgrim Camp. Well, before we left the cemetery, Brother Gardner had conducted the funeral service, and now we were on our way to camp. He prayed with me in the car. "Lord, cover us with your precious blood. Bring us to camp safely." I was driving, so he prayed rather earnestly, I noticed. And then we were on our way. And we had conversation along the way. He was quite a historian, and he told me about Hutchinson River Parkway and who Hutchinson was, and I don't remember most of it, but he filled me in on all these things. And then we finally got to Pilgrim Camp. It was in the evening. Sister Gardner had kept some supper aside for us, and so we sat down together in the little house there, and as we knelt or bowed our heads to pray, the first thing Brother Gordon said was, "Lord, we asked you to bring us up here safely, and we want to thank you." Wow, that was some lesson. Wow. I've asked the Lord to watch over me while I drive many times, but I never thought to thank him when I got there. That was a simple lesson, but 30 years later, I'm still deeply impressed by it. And that's what made these people such a blessing, because they didn't skip over the simple things. When they asked God to do something for them, they remembered to thank him, even in the simplest things. And I've done that often since then. "Lord, protect me as we travel. Thank you, Lord. You got us here safe." And so on. it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Praise God. It does something for us as well as rejoices his heart as well. Jesus was a great example along those lines. Jesus gave thanks. And we find four places in the Gospels where Jesus gave thanks. I'm sure they are typical or representative of many areas in his life where he acknowledged God's goodness. I'd like to take a moment to look at some of those with you. We're going to spend some time in prayer tonight, Monday night. We emphasize prayer, and we'll have opportunity to do that. But there are four places that I found. I don't know if there are others. If you find one, let me know. But I've looked in the concordance, and I found these four. The first one is in John chapter 6, and the 11th verse. It says in my Bible, the feeding of the 5,000. This is given to us in other Gospels as well. But here, in the Gospel of John, it says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Here Jesus had ministered to a large crowd of people, and they had followed him that day. They had gone a long time without eating, and Jesus had compassion on them, and so he told his disciples to give them something to eat, and you know the story, they didn't have anything near enough to feed such a multitude of people. And they said, here's a little boy, he has some fish and bread, but that's not going to feed everybody. So Jesus said, well, bring it to me. And then it says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, then he broke them and gave them to his disciples, and they gave them to the people. And here we see that Jesus gave thanks for God's natural provision. That's important. It's important for us to thank God for meeting our needs day by day. Not to take that for granted. Especially in these days in which we live, hard economic times, we ought to be very thankful that we have food on the table, a roof over our heads, clothes on our back, so on. You know, sometimes our young people go on missions trips and they go to these third world countries. Then they come back and they thought, here I was complaining that I only had 10 blouses and I found people that only had one shirt. And you find out that some of the poorest people in America are richer than most of the people in the world. We have much to be thankful for. When we pray, when we bow our head before we eat our meal, we don't want to make that routine, but we want to give heartfelt thanks. Sometimes you have to stop yourself and say, no, am I just saying words? You know, I have 3 children. My youngest is 6 years old. He likes to pray. He always says the same words, and he says them as fast as he could. And I don't think it's really sinking in. It's good for us to really take time and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this provision. And Jesus, he was very careful to do that. He thanked God. There's a verse in Psalm 145 that says that God opens his hand. Let's just look at that quickly. Psalm 145, 15 and 16. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the hunger of every living thing. Verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God, the Creator, everything comes from Him. We look to Him to supply our daily bread, and He opens His hand. It all comes from Him, and we need to acknowledge that and thank Him for it. Praise God. And to get into the habit of doing that. And so, Jesus, thank God for the open hand, for God providing for him. Jesus didn't have much as far as this earthly life was concerned. He said he has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have their holes, and birds have their nest. But I don't even have a place to lay my head. But God always found him one. And God always made sure that he had something to eat and had something to wear. And so, Jesus, thank God for the open hand. Now, let's turn to Matthew 11:25. And we see another place where Jesus gave thanks. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Here Jesus was rejoicing because the simple people were getting hold of his message. The wise, those that consider themselves wise, those that consider themselves very spiritual and very righteous, really didn't have a clue as to what Jesus was talking about. Their eyes were blinded to the truth. But it was the simple people, the people that saw their need, those that were despised, they were the ones that were receiving the message of the gospel. Those were the ones that were feeding upon his word and being filled with hope and encouragement and so on. And that caused Jesus to rejoice. I thank you, Father, that you are able to reach these simple ones, that you've made the message so plain that even a child can understand. One time I was in an airport, and some fella came up to me and he handed me a book. He was, I don't know what he was, but he was part of some Eastern religion. And he wanted me to take his book and wanted to share his religion with me. And I figured, well, I'll take it because that's one less that he could give to somebody else. And so I took it home and I looked at it. My, that was complicated. Started talking about God and dissecting him in such a way that he really needed a few PhDs to really get hold of what he was saying. At least it seemed that way to me. And I thought, that's how wonderful how God has made the gospel so simple. Because he loves us. He just doesn't love the smart people and the intelligent and educated people. But he loves all of us, and he's made it simple, his love, the message of his love, so that we can all receive it. And if the wise are willing to humble themselves, they can receive his salvation. And if the simple are willing to come to him, they can receive wisdom from God. And Jesus, he wasn't well received by the religious leaders at all. But the common people heard him gladly. We count on that here at Pilgrim Camp. There's much ministry to children here. And we believe that children can understand the gospel. God can give them understanding. God can give them light in their soul. God can cause children to love Jesus and to want to live to please him. And God can keep them for himself as they grow. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have a Pilgrim Camp. And so many testify over the years, I found Jesus when I was 5 or 7 or 9 years old or 11 years old at Pilgrim Camp. Well, you don't always know what's going on in the lives of little children. That's why I always feel for those that minister to children, because they don't know what's going on. The child doesn't say after the meeting, "Oh, thank you for those wonderful words. They were such a blessing to me." That five-year-old doesn't come and say that to you. They just want to play. But you know, something's happening. If we pray and if we trust God to touch these hearts, and we don't get weary in well-doing, you find years later that something's happening. I've worked with young people for a number of years, especially when I was younger. And now this is the time in my life when every once in a while I'm coming in contact with a young person that says, "Thank you. It was such a blessing to be with you back then. God bless me in this meeting. Something you said touched my heart. I had no idea of that when it was happening." Sometimes I had to encourage myself in the Lord because it didn't seem like anything was happening. But God is working. And Jesus rejoiced to see the work of God going forward in the lives of the simple folk. Praise God. And so that's something to be thankful for, that God is able to reveal himself to me, that God is able to make his word real to me, that God is able to give me light in my soul. And it doesn't depend upon my education or my giftedness, my talents, but it depends on my hungry heart and my coming to Jesus and taking his word into my life. So we thank God for the open hand, and we thank God for the open heart that receives the word of God and receives light from heaven. Let's turn to John chapter 11. There's just two more, this one and one other. John chapter 11 is the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. You know that story well, I'm sure. Lazarus dead for 4 days. And Jesus shows forth his glory by raising him from the dead. It's interesting to note that God deliberately held Jesus back from going to minister to Lazarus. God caused a delay because God had something much greater in mind. And Jesus showed forth his glory in a most marvelous way when he called forth Lazarus from the dead. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that as a result of what God did for Lazarus, many of the Jews believed in the Lord. Now, we read in the 11th chapter, in the 41st verse, Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus. He's already dealt with Mary and Martha. They both asked him, "Why you took so long to get here? If you had come, my brother would not have died." They both expressed that one way or another. And then Jesus says, "Show me where you laid him." And they take him to the tomb, and there are people weeping there. And it says Jesus himself wept, verse 35. And then it says here in the 41st verse, is that right? Let's see. "They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.' And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And the dead came forth." Here Jesus, he thanks God that he knows, he has the assurance that God hears him, that God is hearing his prayer. And implied there is not only that God is hearing, but that God is responding. When the Bible speaks about God giving ear to our prayers, it means not just that he's listening to us, but that he's listening with the intention of responding in the way that he sees best for us. And Jesus had that confidence that whenever he spoke to his heavenly Father, his Father heard him. Yes. And he thanked God for the open heaven that was above him, that he had that privilege to commune with his Father. And he did that often. What a wonderful thing that we can pray We have a God that loves us, a God that hears us, God that pays attention. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't want to bother God with that. That's too small of a problem. But that's the wrong attitude entirely. If it concerns you, it concerns him. My children, they have, I think, little problems. They think they're big problems. Sometimes one of them will cry or one of them will be upset about something, and then I'll ask them what's wrong, and they'll pour out their heart to me, and I have to kind of keep from smiling because it's such a tiny little thing. I wish those were my problems, and I wish we could trade. Well, not with my children. But they're big to them. Sister Ruth Collis one time, she was here when she and her husband were directing the camp, and I remember she said, you know, when I was a little girl, I was afraid of, I think she said the dark or something like that. And my mother taught me, she said, you have to learn to trust God, to take away that fear and to keep you in the dark. And so when she was in the dark, she would pray, Jesus, help me. It was a big problem to her as a little girl. And she learned how to trust God over these things. But she was taught, as we teach our children, as we teach ourselves, God hears us when we pray. If our hearts are clean, and if we are sincere in our reaching out and calling upon him, we know that God opens heaven above us. And that's a wonderful thing to be thankful for. There's a lot of people in this world, they don't have that assurance. They feel they're very much alone when they have problems. They have nowhere to turn. They turn to friends, and their friends can't help them. They have nowhere else to go. And then to find out that God hears us. Praise God. And then we pray, and then God answers, and we rejoice. That makes God so real to us when we pray about something, and God hears and answers. Somebody was testifying once and saying, you know, I prayed about this, and God answered that way. And then I prayed about this, and then this happened. And someone listening to them got up and said, oh, that's not God. That's just coincidences. You're saying God's answering your prayers. Those are just coincidences. So they said, well, I thank God that every time I pray, God sends a coincidence. And it's just the one I need. So, no matter how you look at it, it's God answering. And we know that God doesn't always say yes to what we want. Sometimes he redirects our prayers, and sometimes he says no, because he knows that's best for us. But how wonderful to know that whatever problem comes into my life, I can call upon him. I know that he understands. I know that he'll hear. I know that he'll answer. Praise God. And so we thank God for the open heaven. Praise God. And the last one, which is a little bit different than all the others, I think we can find in Luke 22. Chapter 22. And there we read the story, one account of the Last Supper, as it's known. Just before Jesus is going to depart from this world, he gathers together with his disciples one more time to celebrate the Lord's Passover. And if anybody understood the significance of the Passover, Jesus did. And it says here in the 19th verse, and he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. The Apostle Paul repeats that to us in Corinthians. He tells us there in the 11th chapter, I've received of the Lord that which also I've delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. As often as you eat this bread and drink this blood, you do show forth the Lord's death till I come. Now this is a little bit different than thanking God for his natural provision. But this has to do with Jesus giving of himself. The broken bread represented his body, which was to be broken for us. And the cup represented the blood, his lifeblood that would be shed for us on Calvary. And you know, when I serve communion, sometimes I'm asked to pray. I'm helping in communion. Will you thank God for the broken body? Will you thank God for the shed blood? And we do. We thank him. But you know, when Jesus gave thanks, he was thanking God that he could give himself like that for us. Father, I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to be nailed to the cross. I'm going to hang there between heaven and earth, forsaken of God. And I thank you. Thank you that I can do that. You know, when you think of it that way, that's too much for me to take in. That Jesus, knowing what the bread and the wine represented and what he was about to face, was able to give thanks. Say, I thank you, Father. Thank you for this bread. Thank you for this cup. Thank you that I can give myself. I can lay down my life so that these whom you have given me can be mine. What love! No greater love hath any man than this, that a man is willing to lay down his life for his friends. That's a love that we can't fathom. Instead of complaining that Jesus complaining that he had to go and do this, he thanked God. Thank God for the privilege, the opportunity to do what was necessary to purchase our salvation. Sometimes people think that there's other ways to get to heaven. You hear that? Well, all different roads lead to heaven. But you know, I look at the Garden of Gethsemane, and I see Jesus there, and he's saying, God, if there's any other way. Here Jesus, the Son of God, is talking to his Father about salvation for mankind. He says, if it be possible, if there's any other way to save mankind, other than that I have to go to the cross, then Lord, spare me this. Yet not what I want, but thy will be done. And Jesus prayed and agonized over that 3 times, we read, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And God's answer was very clear. There's no other way. There is no other way. If God could have found another way and spared his son, he would have found it. But the God of the universe could not come up with any other way to bring us salvation than to send his son to die for our sins. And Jesus accepted that and said, thank you, Father. If that's what it takes, I give myself freely, fully. Praise God. And so you see what I mean when I say Jesus is our example of giving thanks. And if Jesus could give thanks in the ways that he did, then we ought to follow that example. And we ought to do that every day. Thank you, Lord, for the open hand. Thank you, Lord, for the open heart. I thank you, Lord, for open heaven. And I thank you for Jesus, my Savior, who gave himself fully for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing a song. It's sort of a Thanksgiving song. We sing it at Thanksgiving, but it's entitled Thanks to God. And that would be a good song to lead us into prayer. That's number 492. 492. That gives us a lot of things to be thankful for. So let's stand. You've been sitting a while, if you'd like, and let's sing Thanks to God. And then we'll go to prayer. 492.
Thanks to God. Thanks for
Jesus.